Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bang! Out!
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
Champagne football!
Robot Building Supplies, the toughest products at better prices. Call 1-300-GO-ROBOT or robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, nice to have the best in the business in on a Wednesday to discuss football. Damien Barrett is always in. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim and Bill.
Nice to see you, and I'm going to get to you about Ollie Wines in just a sec. But before we do, former St Kilda star Joey Montagne is in. Hello, Joey.
Afternoon, boys. Nice to be here.
Ollie Wines recommits to Port Adelaide for 4 years. So the massive sigh of relief coming out of that place.
Absolutely. They felt it was coming. Ken Hinckley left himself, didn't he, this time last week, Jim, with nowhere to go, nowhere to move on the statement that he made that he's 100% sure he'd stay. So I'm glad it played out that way for Ken for a number of reasons. But what I liked about what Ollie did, Jim, having sussed it all out, canvassed the situation, then signed for 4 years, not just the two. So it actually takes him beyond his first stage of eligibility as a free agent.
Why did it take a while to come out and say and sign it and do it all? Because he was going to sign, then he seemed to back away a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Although even different to what's happening with Sloan, that there was no real great fear, I don't think, from the Port team that he was going to go, Bill. Whereas the Crows are still confident Sloan will stay, but obviously they don't yet have that that conviction to go public like Ken Hinckley did last week.
I think, Bill, it might be more common for players to just take their time with it and suss out all their options because of the free agency market now where the players do have a little bit more leverage. I think you might see players that take a little bit longer than they would have in the past but still sign and stay at their club. So I don't think this will be unusual going forward.
I spoke to Rory Sloan on ground Saturday night
and
happily put it to him, what are you doing? And I was none the wiser at the end of his answer.
Oh, really?
He gave you nothing. I saw that.
Not in a nasty way. No. Just his answer told me absolutely nothing, Joey.
Well, Ollie Wines' answers, I think, told us the same. It was only, as you said, Ken Hinckley that really told us he was going to stay. But if you had to listen to Ollie Wines even as late as last week, you still wouldn't have had a clue that he was going to stay. So I think the players just give that stock standard line just to take away any conjecture.
What they have done, Joey, in recent times is stop putting a deadline on it. It used to be, I'm waiting for the first eight weeks. And then it goes, I'm waiting for the bye. And then I'm waiting for the finals. And then, oh no, it's sort of too finite for them. So now it's just an open, generic, let's let this one play out.
Eddie Betts' hamstring just adds to what is already a train wreck in Adelaide.
Mm. Yeah, second time it's happened to him. And as we know with footballers, once you get one or two hamstrings, you're almost done for the rest of your career by way of fear, aren't you, when it could happen again. So what's the numbers there, Bill? You've only done a bit of research and all that. There's 9 or 10 now, aren't there, Bill? Which means someone would have given them to you.
Abe and I. Yeah. He carries that suitcase around. Very, very, very important. Eddie Betts twice. Walker, of course, in and out. And they've finally admitted to that one, haven't they, the Tex?
They did.
Knight, Malira, Matt Crouch. So they've missed a total of 33 games combined.
All with hamstrings.
33 games, those boys, yeah. So that's a lot. And as Damien said, if you do it twice, Leroy, that spells danger, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It just means you have to be very careful for the rest of your career. You'll have to start doing all the rehab, extra rehab stuff for the hamstring injuries. And clearly to have that many injuries with a hamstring, it means they've changed up their program, their weights program maybe, or their leg program. And when you do that and you change your body composition, it can certainly affect us. It happened to St Kilda in, I think, 2006 or 7. We got a new weights coach come in. It was more of an Olympian, and it was a real powerlifting session. And we had blokes doing their hammies left, right and centre because we just did two heavier weights in the pre-season. So it can happen.
Did Don Pike walk in about 3 weeks ago and say, enough of this, none more, we're not having any more hammies, we're changing the way we're training?
I have heard that.
None more.
He should have said no more, but he said none more.
They've certainly revisited what happened in that program.
No, did Don Pike walk in and was very aggressive and said, that's it?
Yeah, I think there's been a few discussions between Don Pike and Brett Burton about where that program has been down.
But, Joey, it's almost as hard to unravel as it is to set up in the first place. It's not just as easy as saying, right, stop doing it.
No, exactly right. I'm not sure. I mean, I can understand Don Pike's frustration to walk in and say, that's it, we're not doing any leg weights. But you've got to still do something and you've got to work out a way. And sometimes, once it starts, it is pretty hard to stop.
At the touching of an umpire, Jordan Lewis got involved in it. Damo, I know you've been very hot on this right from the start. I'm quoting Jordan Lewis here where he said, I can't believe it. You just don't do it. I've never touched an umpire. I've never even thought about touching an umpire. Yep. Dusty Martin, of course, just a fine. And we've seen some inconsistency around touching umpires previous weeks.
I'm all for the rapport that umpires clearly want with players, but I don't think that rapport needs to extend to allowing players to touch them. And I know I'm coming from an outside the game system, Joey, but that's just my observations on it. I've always taken the view when it comes to this touching of an umpire that there's so much grey in the game by way of adjudication of a free kick and other matters that go on the ground within a game of footy that... Let's keep this one black and white. You choose to touch, even if it is a reenactment of a decision made by an umpire. I feel it's enough to say that's your choice to touch and that we are going to therefore sanction you with a week's penalty as opposed to the fines that I think have convoluted the system, Jim, and confused it. And it is confused and it is convoluted because what Michael Christian said on Monday just gone was far different to what he'd said previously.
It was.
On the Monday after an incident involving an umpire. So they've changed their tune.
But he made sense. On Monday, didn't he, Joey?
I disagree with Damo. I don't mind players touching umpires if you're doing it in a manner that's respectful, like Willy Rioli tapping him on the butt, or if you're explaining something, you do it in a manner that's showing a bit of rapport.
Mason
doing
Cox it in a way, Mason, shook.
Yeah, well, I mean, hands. At the start of the year, the umpires brought in a rule to shake the players' hands after the game to build a bit more of a rapport and a relationship, and don't see the umpires as these people that you just have to you can't touch and you have different relationships. So I've never seen the issue with it if it's done in the right way, and I agree with you, Bill.
Yeah.
I like what Michael Christian. Done. Same. Yes, it's confused, but I think it's a common sense. He's saying, okay, we've now got to draw a line. If it's okay to touch the umpire, as long as it's not in a manner that's aggressive that's or right. disrespectful or anything like that. So I know that it's confusing because it wasn't that at the start of the year, but I think now the right outcome is there. We don't want to see Dusty Martin or Willy Rioli missing weeks for something like that. So I think they've made the right outcome now for a rule that I think you can't have as black and white because there are situations where you are trying to explain something or, I mean, if you go back to the Tom Hawkins where he hit the umpire, if you look behind him, Corey Gregson actually went past the umpire and brushed him as he stepped around him. Now, if you want to make it black and white, all of a sudden Corey Gregson was getting a week as well, and I just don't think that's necessary.
No, but I think that's accidental contact. The one where you deliberately... My issue with it, Joey, is not at AFL level. My issue is people watching it and then going back to their club, and a bloke can come in and bump an umpire and sit him on his ass, and everyone goes, well, you can't do that. And he goes, oh, I was just showing him what the player did to me.
Yep. Yeah.
And suddenly the umpire's been flattened. I know it's unlikely, but the AFL players, I don't think, are the ones that'll get it wrong. It's much more out at, you know, the burbs, where suddenly they think, well, it's okay to do something that you should actually never do. That's my only concern about it.
You just can't be aggressive or dismissive.
No, but again, Bill, you're still relying on someone who's looking at a video or looking at it in live time, making an interpretation of the intent, and which is what Michael Christian did on Monday when he changed the way they're going to view it.
On the run.
On the run. And let's also factor in this. They won't admit this, but let's factor in this was Dustin Martin who was let off on the weekend. Yeah. This wasn't a player who's not going to figure on Brownlow Medal night, and it wasn't a player who hadn't just won the most recent Brownlow Medal. It's all part of why they've changed it, I feel, too.
I know that's
the cynical and that's the conspiracy theory in me, Jim, but we know they operate that
way. Well, Nat Fyfe got a week. It broke your system. That broke your...
But that's not for touching.
That wasn't for touching.
No. But you keep saying that.
Well, did Trent Cotchin play in the grand final last year when he shouldn't have under the rules of the game in that season?
But I don't mind what they've come out with now. And everyone knows that if you've been aggressive, which Tom Hawkins was, he did brush him away.
Yep.
And all the others there, pat on the bum, as you said.
But Stephen May was the first one that got off. So it wasn't like Dusty's been the only person to get off for making contact with the umpire. Stephen May basically started that, didn't he?
Then the Kurnos both had to go through the tribunal. One got off, one copped a suspension.
Which is fair.
Hey, tell me about your great mate, Nick Riewoldt, who's I've never seen a man more, as you have been a bit, Joey, but more caught between a rock and a hard place than Rui, because he now works in the media and he's being asked to comment on St Kilda, who prior to the last 30 minutes on the weekend have had a pretty horrible run. He can only answer the questions he's asked, and he should answer them honestly because he's receiving a check, and yet gets split down the middle.
Yeah, it is a tough one. It's been a difficult situation, particularly more for Nick. And after the win on the weekend, I can tell you, he sent me a text and said, thank God for that they had a win that can just relieve a bit of pressure, because it is hard, because when you're getting asked week after week what's going wrong with St Kilda, you can't, now that you're in the media, sit on the fence and say, nothing. You've got to give something, and Nick expressed how he felt. And, I mean, I think in some quarters it was misinterpreted and taken in a different context of the way he meant it, but unfortunately that's Nick's role now, and you've got to live by that.
In context is always interesting, isn't
it? Well, it is, because he
when
said
you pull
it's
something out, which you're good at, pulling things out.
Which well, I think because he said, Bill, because he said, I think that his version of brutal was different than
that's
what
right.
maybe. And then when the question got asked to Alan Richardson, I think someone said, well, how did you hear Nick Brown's comment saying the club was soft?
Yeah, set
and,
him up.
You know, the players were soft. And Nick said, well, no, I never said that. Right. So it gets, you can change one word here and there and change the context.
It happened with Nick Del Santo, didn't it?
Yes.
In the early stages of his commentary career after his North Melbourne retirement.
Yeah, it did. And see, Richo got in the song, sang the song. We know what happened last time a coach got in the playing group when they'd won and sang the song.
What happened?
I don't know where you're going with this, Bill.
Was it Beveridge out there? When he got in, the coach got in there and sang the song, and they haven't won since.
That's a reasonable bow to draw there, Bill.
Well, that's a good bow.
Was that where they actually got the whole club?
I'm sure Pendlebury got
like
Buckley.
40. Oh, there was
I'm sure Pendlebury got Scott, Nathan Buckley involved too, didn't he? And they've gone on to go, all right.
I don't know. Where's the evidence there, shall we? I haven't seen that.
Was that, was that a good bow, was it?
It's a bing.
Speaking of which, Jared Waite is going to miss some footy, which is a shame for fans of footy, let alone North Melbourne Purple, because for me, more of him, please. In other words, blokes that you go along to watch, Joey, and you have no idea what's about to happen, and it's golden entertainment.
And he didn't either half the time, did he?
So, no, that's it.
And that was the beauty of him. He had held up really well, hadn't he, with Ben Brown this year.
Yep.
Mason Wood had come in late in that. We knew Zeeble was playing four. That was really emerging as a four-pronged key attack to what North was going to do in the rest of the year. And now that he's got this situation where he was a late withdrawal a couple of weeks ago, he has re-aggravated that same complaint to the point where they've re-scanned it and they didn't like what they saw. It's now, it's indefinite. That doesn't mean it's going to be 10 weeks, but it doesn't, it certainly means it won't be 1 week as well. So, and when you're at his age and stage, you do naturally fear, is he going to get back because of where North is at and how bad this latest soft tissue injury
I reckon if you went and asked them, and I don't have any involvement now, but I reckon they would have said, if we can get 10 to 15 games out of Waitey, we'll take it all day long. So they, what have they got? Eight?
Close to the 10,
so
probably.
So you'd hope he'll get back for the last month, and that would be about what you'd want.
And some beauties in
that. I know.
Oh, really?
Really
yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, there was a month period where he was almost the best player in the comp, wasn't he? Yeah. In that
it was
game.
Nathan Brown-like, wasn't
certainly
he?
Certainly influenced over the games he was playing in.
But with North's season unfolding the way it had been, there was a sense of romanticism about where they could go if he was on the field.
Yeah.
I don't think you can start dreaming really big without him.
No, well, it makes a big difference.
I think they're lucky, the Kangaroos. The next 3 weeks are still very winnable without Jared Waite. So maybe, you talk about the 10 to 15 games, maybe they can afford to just put Waite on ice, get him 100% right, and get him back for 3 or 4 weeks before the finals and have a real tilt at trying to play finals.
Daniel Wells, while we're talking calves, are we any chance of getting him back?
You wonder, don't you? Yeah, it's in keeping with what we've said about Daniel Wells now, as we have with Jared Waite for a long time, particularly in the latter half of their careers.
It worries me, Joey, because we're going through this patch where footy's not as enjoyable to watch as we'd all like it to be. I think that's a fairly consistent statement across the people that know what they're looking at. So when we're having these issues, you don't want Waite, you don't want Wells, you don't want Josh Kennedy, you don't want the best players not available.
It does feel like we're getting a double whammy this year with some ordinary football and a lot of good players, a lot of really quality players missing games of footy. So, it does feel a bit like that this season.
Jack Darling, another one. All right, we need to take a break. Back with more with the boys after this. Joey Montana, of course, Damien Barrett in for the midweek rub. Now, the Lions, one of a few clubs, Joey, who have trialled some of the new proposed changes to the rules, like a giant goal square and locking full forwards and full backs in there. Your thoughts on any of this as a recently retired player?
Oh, I'm starting to warm to it. I think something needs to be done. I was probably a bit apprehensive at the start of the year, and that was probably my footballer's hat on, where you always think about you don't like change. But now that I've stepped out and watched most games this year, I think something needs to be done, and I hear a lot of good ideas, so I'm open to any of the suggestions.
Give me a couple that you've liked.
I think the goal square one's a good idea, but you've got to really think about, though, the consequences for it, and that's the one that a lot of people say, that's a good idea, but you've got to put a lot of thought into how clubs might counteract it.
Well, take us through. Why is it a good idea?
And what is it?
Well, the goal square, where you bring it out 25 metres, so that when you kick the ball out from full back, you're basically kicking it to the middle of the ground, getting it almost in your forward half. The counter is teams might then start trying to rush the ball for a behind more, because all of a sudden if you're hemmed in your back pocket, somehow you come up with a way without giving away a free kick. But so there's always these ideas. I'm starting to like the zoning too, getting a couple of pairs starting inside the forward 50.
So just to start, once the ball's bounced, you can
then
exit.
You can move anywhere. Yeah, I think that's one that I'm warming to. I just feel that 36 men on a football field now there's too many men. There's not enough space. Because since the game's gone professional in the last 25 years, players cover the ground too much. I even don't mind 16 a field, 16 each side. I'm open to that as well. You're taking away the two worst players, so to speak, in each team. There's 36 players that, you know, can step away, and they might be doing a lot of ideas.
The feedback out of the two clubs that have done it, Hawthorn and Brisbane. Brisbane, far more expansive publicly. Dane Zorko last night almost took us through kick for kick what happened.
Yeah, right.
Hawthorn kept it secret. I reckon that was under instruction from the AFL. The talkback is that people like Isaac Smith are going to love whatever it is they do, whether it be the goal square, whether it be the zones, whether it just be the general freeing up or the intent to free up. So you can see that's going to be who is going to be drafted at the end of this year. And the clubs want to know pretty soon, don't they? And Stephen Hawking has told them that he will tell them very soon after this season what's going to be in place by way of the legislation so they can draft and trade for that purpose.
Okay, so if you're the NBA, for instance, you can't imagine a body running a competition like that tolerating scoring almost halving over 20 years. They would step in at some stage and say, we can't have this.
Hmm.
We must have teams able to score.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, I was there Saturday night, Joey. Hawthorn, Adelaide, although Adelaide injury depleted a bit, but two highly ranked teams, half-time, 3 goals apiece.
Yeah, I did that game as well. It was
perfect
shocking
conditions.
Football. Yeah, it was. It was horrible to watch. And I think, we need to find a way to increase scoring. We need to stretch the field. We need to create more space. And it won't even suit the Isaac Smiths. The guys like Dusty and Dangerfield and Fife, breaking through a stoppage and then getting out into space will just make the game look spectacular. Yep, it's time for a change.
Tell us about the new Demons headquarters, Damo, or proposed headquarters.
Yeah, it is only talk, and it's very, very early talk. The region not far from the Jolimont Station is the way I read it to be. I didn't delve too deep into it, Jim, I must admit. But obviously all that parkland and the move from council, government, the MCG itself to eventually not have parking in that precinct for security reasons as much as anything is partially also behind the ideology behind it. So I'm of the view that you may as well use the space, provided the public can get access to it. I know that causes problems for AFL clubs, Bill, but if it is public space, and I'm not naturally sold on it because I do like the fact that we do have public space, but maybe there's a better use for that particular space around that ground.
So we're talking up near the old Hilton?
Somewhere, well, that's where they're talking about, Jolimont Station, aren't they? The Jolimont Station.
Actually, they should change that name too, from Jolimont Station. What does Jolimont Station mean to you? Where it should be MCG Station or Ronald Dale Brassey Station.
Could be that.
Something like that.
All right.
While we're at it.
But so just down the road from the old Hilton, I know is not the Hilton anymore, they're talking about the headquarters bridging the top of the road. So the road will go underneath.
That was what I took out of it, Jim, but please don't hold me to that and maybe refer people back to the article in the Herald Sun today to get the full details of the way it was portrayed by Jake.
Well, they need to do something because at the moment they're locked in to a joint, Joey, where there's rugby union, rugby league, soccer, you know, they need to do something.
Yeah. You've got to have a home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Boys need a home. Josh Kennedy from the West Coast Eagles, he's got a hairline fracture of the lower leg.
It's a bad situation when you've already got Jack Darling out of that team and they're doing so well. Only the two losses, both to the same team, the Sydney Swans, round 1 and round 13, those losses coming in. They've got to get through a few matches now, probably 3, I reckon, without Kennedy. And that will coincide with about the time Darling will come back, but they'll both need to then regain some match fitness. Testing time for a team that was going so beautifully.
Mm, exactly right.
Any input into that injury, Joey?
no input into that. No, it's unfortunate for West Coast, two big guns in their forward line, but I think they'll still be good enough to win a few games.
There'd be some tough blokes, I reckon, that have probably had that injury over the journey and played with it.
Well, Joey did say that.
Come on, Joey.
Come on, Joey.
I played with a hairline fracture just under my knee on the little sticky bar, the little pointy bone that sticks out on the side of your knee. I played with a hairline fracture. Oh. Just jab it up, put some cortisone in it, and away I went.
Are you
just couldn't train
Josh
for a couple
Kennedy's
of weeks.
Soft.
No, I'm not saying
yes,
that at all. Every injury's different. I've got no idea how severe his is. I just mentioned off air, by the way, that I did play with the hairline fracture.
You'll learn that with Bill. You don't ever say that.
You brought it up, actually.
Bit of cortisone and away I went.
We could do the Mythbuster, the Saturday Mythbuster, on Mark Bickley. Only if we were sort of able to have really boring radio for 5 or 6 minutes if we actually had. But, Bill, we could do the Mythbuster on him because it's my understanding, playing for Australia against Ireland at Cork and the Croke Park.
Yep.
It was so cold.
Yep.
He broke his leg and didn't realise it was broken until after the game.
He actually played on. That's
yeah. because he couldn't feel his leg anyway.
Oh, it's getting iced up straight away, was it?
Apparently, it was iced up a second after he broke it. So, Bill, maybe we could swing him onto MythBusters.
No,
and, you don't reckon?
I like that one, Bill.
No, not with Vix.
Why not? What's on Vix?
Well, we could get BT to do it, where he just talks about the myth and then just gets him on and goes, "Yeah, is that true, Mark?
Are you there? Are you there, Mark? Are you there, Mark? Yep. Oh, thank you." Hey, Vic Metro play Vic Country this
Sunday
before the Carlton Collingwood game. Have a look here. Have a look at this Vic Metro side. What year is this?
2001.
2001. Have a look at some of the players in this side. Mm-hmm. Chris Judd, James Kelly, Andrew Carazzo, Campbell Brown, Sam Power, Luke Ball, David Roden, Brent Riley, Lee Montagna.
Hello.
Gee, pretty good side, wasn't it?
It was. Well, that was the year, the Super Draft year. So that was our team. And, yeah, we beat Vic Country, who had some pretty handy players themselves. Billy, they had a few of the Cats boys.
Oh, Gary Ablett. Nick Del Santo, of course, from Bendigo. James Bartell. Jared Waite from Murray Bush Rangers.
Luke Hodge.
Brent Maloney.
Was Hodge in that same Super Draft?
He was in that draft.
I don't think he played.
Mustn't have played.
No, I don't think he must have played.
Stevie J, of course.
Stevie!
Mark McGough, old possum.
Oh, McGough.
Rick Ladson. He played in that. Who else have we got? Jolie Reynolds. They're not a bad side.
Your young bloke's playing this week?
Yeah, so he's playing for the country this week.
I've heard he's going really well, Bill, and you don't give him enough love. No, publicly.
He tackles too much.
Oh, beg your pardon?
He tackles too much, Jim. You get nowhere tackling.
Joey, I'm actually having a crumb calling the game for Fox Footy Sunday. So I'm having a crack. So I've been watching the Vic Country game the other day, trying to memorise all the names.
And watch
Oscar
go.
Yeah, Sam Walsh is a little
shut up,
gun,
Bill.
Yeah.
How did you assess Oscar's game?
I thought Oscar was very good. Half forward, bit of inside. Yeah. He tackles hard. He's a very good runner. He doesn't look anything like his old man from what I pictured, Bill.
And I'll tell you what happened.
I don't like it. I want him taking hangers, not chasing, all that.
I'll tell you what happened, Joey, and this is 100% factual. He played an indifferent first game of the year, Osk.
Right.
Yes. In the TAC.
Falcons.
The only bad game he's probably played for the year.
Yeah.
Bill's wandered into the rooms afterwards, and his constructive sort of advice after 198 games in the big time, you've just got to get better.
I said you must get better.
That's good advice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not anything specific he was doing wrong.
You just must get better.
Actually, just get a kick.
He's going well, your boy. He's going well.
Okay,
it worked, Bill.
It did. I've been told
he's firing.
He's going very well. I ran in recently to one of the head recruiters of one of the clubs at the airport who said he is going beautifully.
There you go. Mm.
So he will father son to Geelong, and I hope whatever he earns out of the game, he doesn't give you a cent.
No, bullshit.
You come across parents, don't you, Jim, who pump their kids up,
yep.
whatever sport it is, girl or guy. You come across Bill.
No, he's like my brother, actually. Yeah. Mark's exactly the same. Angus will have 30 kicks, and Mark will see the two things he gets wrong, and that's all he'll talk about.
Something's
wrong with you.
That's all you watch when you watch them. You only watch them. You've got to be careful. But also, you've got to be careful of parents out there who live the dream through their kids, and then when the poor kid doesn't make it, he's a failure. You know, and it happens in that TAC competition, doesn't it, Joe?
So you've got to
be very, very careful. But no, he's a good boy. He's a good boy.
No, he's a very good boy. Mm. Don't worry about that.
That's curtain raiser to Collingwood Carlton on Sunday. Yeah. So if you get there early, you can go and watch them run around.
You're calling it, Joey.
Yeah, have a crack at the call. Yeah.
What about Nate Fyfe admitting we chatted about this the other day, that he didn't know some of his own teammates' names, which took us back to the old enforcer when the umpires came down and he introduced them all and then just didn't know the name of one of the players.
Gerald
Fitzgerald.
I think he admitted that in the footy show, didn't he?
Yeah,
years after it actually happened.
That was the day when the captains had to go along with the umpires and this is Doug Wade. And got to the end and just looking around.
Joey, this is Sam Newman, who, by the way, was the captain of Geelong, living in Melbourne, training with Hawthorn.
That's unbelievable.
That is 100% true.
That's amazing.
Trained with another club.
It's amazing, isn't it? Hawthorn, was it?
Yeah, but Nate Fyfe has now, in a nice interview with, I think it was Sam Landsberger, admitted that he did.
With Paul Marsh, wasn't it?
On the podcast. He acknowledged that he actually didn't know some of his own teammates' names, which is in keeping with a few people over the journey. Tony Lockett.
Gary Ablett.
Well, that happened in my first year. I was at the club and I was doing a rehab session with Justin Platt. Remember Justin Platt?
Yeah.
He's now, I think, Melbourne midfield coach. And we went to the swimming pool to sign in our names to do a swim session together. And he wrote his name and then he filled in for for me, and he wrote Joseph Montagna.
Joseph?
He thought my first, because they were calling me Joey, he just thought my name was Joseph. So he wrote Joseph.
Easy to do. Footy show tonight, of course, Ollie Wines.
Yes, he's on.
And?
Are we allowed to say who's
Vine?
On?
Vine?
Are we? Yeah.
Viney?
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're best friends at Echuca Moama.
Okay.
So he's on. Nath Brown's coming in again. Very happy with himself last week.
Might
so
he wants top to come on tonight.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. We don't see those man boobs. So good show as always tonight.
And Joey, we've got you Saturday night, Western Bulldogs, North Melbourne.
Yes,
looking forward to that, of course. And Purple, you're at Friday Huddle, and then we'll see you Saturday.
Saturday,
and that'll be interesting too for the Hawthorn Gold Coast. My first look at the Gold Coast.
Yeah,
so fair to say, I need to look at some tape.
That'd be real interesting, Jim.
I need to sit my ass right in front of the television, Purple, for about an hour and look at some tape.
Hope the Gold Coast can actually score a goal in the last quarter
that
too.
That would be
for
nice.
First time in five matches.
Good to see you, Joey. Thanks for dropping
in. Thank you. Thanks, Joey.
Well done.
See you, Joseph.